We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Senator Oyer, you're a member of the Progressive Caucus in the General Assembly, and we see how the Progressive Caucus appears to be gathering strength in the recent time frame. How many additional seats would progressives need to pick up in legislative elections this year for you to consider that a success?
I think that it's interesting because I don't approach it that way and thinking about myself as a progressive. I think about myself as a Democrat. And actually, while I was running for office, I was really specific on talking about different issues that were important to me. So I think it's a matter of, you know, making sure that we're moving towards a representative democracy and that we're expanding the seats and the opportunities for people from a wide variety to serve as representation at the State House.
Well, speaking of representative democracy, one of the hot topics at the State House this year is the proposed Pawsox Stadium in Pawtucket. You say you studied the issue and decided it's a good deal for taxpayers and would keep a revenue generator in Rhode Island rather than leaving the state. What do you know that House Speaker Mattiello doesn't know since he's been so skeptical about this proposal?
So I think there's a couple things on the changes that the Senate made to the bill that to me were very compelling. The overage of the construction costs is covered by the team. To me, that's huge. You look across stadium deals across the country, that can often be a cost driver.
And by overage, you mean the team would pick up the expense if it costs more than expected to build the stadium?
Correct. And then additionally, that they're going to be developing about 50,000 additional square feet of economic development. So that's something that's going to go on the tax rolls within a year of the property being finished.
Do you think Speaker Mattiello's skepticism is influenced by how he had such a close re-election fight in 2016 and how that could be making him tread very carefully on this issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think with any issue, you know, you're trying to balance the needs and the desires of your constituents and then also the best interests of the state at the same time. I know personally in my district, I've heard more support than I have opposed. And as people come to kind of understand the changes to the deal, there's more support coming around.
I'm just wondering, this year, there seems to be a big push among some progressives and some of the feminist members to codify the abortion standards in Roe v. Wade in case the Supreme Court decides that they will overturn that 1973 decision. Why should we do this year when you know you're going to divide the party and you're obviously going to draw the wrath of people like Bishop Tobin?
Well, I mean, I think the attacks on women's health over the years actually shows an urgency around this issue. This isn't something that women decided to care about overnight. Since Roe v. Wade, there has been a persistent, consistent attack on these rights every year. And I think the realities of what's happening on the Supreme Court, I mean, in my perspective, it should be a no-brainer. It's the law of the land now. Let's codify it. Let's make sure that Rhode Island law matches federal law. There shouldn't need to be an immediate urgency behind it to make sure that our laws match federal laws.
Channel 12 reported this week that the head of the Legislative Page Program has testified before a grand jury in an investigation that may be related to one of your Senate colleagues, Republican Nicholas Kettle of Coventry. You're a relative newcomer to the General Assembly, but you have been around Smith Hill as an activist for some time. So I wonder, have you heard about any other instances of harassment beyond the allegations cited last year by State Rep. Teresa Tansey?
I was incredibly disturbed to hear that that new development in the case surrounding Senator Kettle. And I have spoken to Senate leadership. I think the very high priority is to make sure that all of the pages are safe and have a safe and secure working environment. And leadership has been clear from day one, as soon as those allegations came forward in the House, that there is no tolerance for that in the Senate. And I'm very proud at the strong stance that the Senate president has taken on that issue.
And are you aware of any other instances of harassment at the State House beyond what Teresa Tansey said?
Not to my knowledge.
Why do you think it is that Massachusetts, with a Republican governor, is much better on working family issues than is Rhode Island? I'll give you a couple of examples. Earned income tax credit. Governor Baker wants to move it to 30% of the federal tax credit. We only have it at 15, and their minimum wage is $11 an hour, 90 cents an hour better than Rhode Island's. Why are we behind in these measures?
I think that it comes from the attempt to have the conversation about business friendliness sometimes comes to the forefront as being anti-worker, and that's how it kind of manifests itself in the building. But I think that we can do both things. I think that we can be good for business and good for workers.
Are we spending too much money luring businesses from out of state here with tax money and incentives and not helping our own Rhode Island businesses that are already here? You hear some kvetching about that from the business community.
Yeah, that's a good question. We had an oversight hearing actually about some of the incentive packages, and I anticipate a second hearing at least on this issue. And it's also one of the reasons that I came to support the PawSox deal. And I think it's something that is a very good question, and I look forward to continuing to look into the programs.
We're talking here with State Senator Dawn Oyer, a Newport Democrat. And Senator Oyer, I'd like to ask you about two bills that were vetoed last year by Governor Raimondo. One was a so-called continuing contracts bill. The other would have made it easier for firefighters to get disability pensions. Would you support overriding the governor's veto on either or both of those bills?
I would definitely. On the continuing contracts bill, I think it's really incumbent. It's almost like when we continued the budget conversation, we didn't pass a budget. The budget from the previous year continues. And I think it's very similar on a municipal level. It's a contract that the municipalities have negotiated. So to me, it makes sense that that would continue until a new agreement would be reached.
Do you expect the Senate as a whole to take that override up?
I have not heard of a new initiative around that.
What's been your biggest surprise? You're the newest member, obviously, of the Senate, having won a special election to replace the former Senate President, Teresa Pivoy. What has surprised you the most?
The amount of reading. And I've been happily surprised at the amount of civic engagement, the number of people from my district who have contacted me on issues, and even on some issues that, you know, don't make the news and are not necessarily in the headlines every day, how passionate people are in promoting their positions and providing information about, you know, really important issues.
We've got to ask you a Newport question before you go. There's been talk of redeveloping the north end of Newport where the casino used to be. What is happening with that, and what would you like to see happen there?
My understanding is that the city has been continuing moving forward with a public-private partnership, and looking forward to do a high-tech innovation center really focused around the issues of climate change and resiliency technology, and also with what's happening in the defense industry around those issues.
And what is your top priority in the Senate this session?
I have two, actually. One is there is a bill that I put in to request the DOT to communicate with businesses before they do road projects. That arose from actually a construction situation that happened in Newport. And the second one is my offshore oil drill ban. And so that actually wasn't intended to be a priority, but the president made that rise higher on my list.
Is anybody opposed to your bill banning offshore drilling?
I haven't heard from them if they are, so.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here, as always.
And Democratic State Senator Dawn Oyer from Newport.
Thank you for having me.